The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
29 seconds remaining in the game as Klingberg moves to his right to Celebrini at the near side. Down into the right circle to Eklund. Doesn't pull the trigger, feeds it in front. Backhand chance right in front for Winberg. Save made by Lindbaum. Celebrini on the point. Eklund shoots. Save made. Rebound poked at wide by Winberg. Rebound kept in. 10 seconds remaining in the game. Celebrini sends it over down low to Smith. He centers it in front. Oh, a chance. Eklund fans on it. Toffoli shoots. Wide. Missed the net. And the game is over. Tyler Toffoli had a chance to tie the game, and he just missed the net with a laser of a wrist shot with seconds to play. Vegas wins 4-3. And the Vegas Golden Knights come off their bench to congratulate Carl Lindbaum, for who was very good when he had to be, picks up his very first National Hockey League win here in Vegas.
Yeah, effort was good. You know, again, I thought we competed hard. There's obviously some things in our game, some detail stuff that we probably give up, you know, five chances too many right now. So we got to get those down, you know, to give ourselves a better chance and keep the puck out of the back of our net. And that will lead to more offense. We just got to keep working at it and, you know, cleaning up those finer details of our game.
Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, November 30th, and the San Jose Sharks are coming off of a tight 4-3 loss to the Las Vegas Golden Knights on the second night of a home and away back-to-back. The San Jose Sharks, as we look at the standings, are currently just outside the final wild card spot in the West, tied in points with the Utah Mammoth and 1 point back of the Seattle Kraken. So the Sharks have 27 points. They're in third in the wild card rankings. They are tied in points with Utah at 27, Seattle has 28, and then we look at the Pacific and the top three playoff teams. We are looking at Vegas, 3 points in front of San Jose with 30 points, LA with 31 points, Anaheim with 31 points. So when I look at the big picture of what the Sharks just did in this most recent stretch of games, I think you're kind of okay with it, because still they had a very, very successful month of November. They lost to a good Vegas team on the second night of a back-to-back after defeating a team in Vancouver that they should have beaten the night before. And one of the things we've been talking about consistently as of late is the fact that the Sharks, you know, if we compare to a year ago, if they've been able to win half of their one-goal games, they'd be in more of the playoff conversation. Well, we just had two games, and the Sharks won one of the one-goal games and lost one of the one-goal games. So I'm trying to look at it in that perspective, but I know that not everybody wants to look at it just specifically that way. But, you know, you look at the way this month went. They had the four-game win streak, which was very, very successful. Everyone's happy about that. They lost two on the road. They come home. They win 3 out of 4. They lose against a wildly hot Colorado team whose streak did come to an end. Then they beat Vancouver. Then they beat Vegas. And I guess you could say that there has been somewhat of a cool down for San Jose, as they are 5-5 in their last 10. But I think that is indicative to me that they are just riding the realities of life in the NHL. It's not always going to be red hot or ice cold like we've seen in years prior. And red hot is a generous explanation of what they were able to get to. But, you know, I want to see if that continues into the month of December. They have two home games against Utah and Washington. Neither of those are going to be quote unquote easy games right now, because the Caps are the number one ranked wild card team in the Eastern Conference. But then you go out and you've got tough challenges in Dallas and Carolina, Philadelphia, Toronto, Pittsburgh before you back home on the 16th for three. Then you get three on the road, including 3 days off for the Christmas break. And then you finish up the month of December at home on New Year's Eve against Minnesota. But I think what we're seeing overall is this Sharks team handling the realities of life in the NHL a little bit more realistically than what we have seen in previous years, where it's a win or two punctuated by five, six, seven consecutive losses, or even sometimes more. And that is honestly what I'm hoping to see. And I would hope that the Sharks can bounce back immediately from this one loss with a win on Monday. And if they can get another win against Washington going out into a very difficult road trip, that's going to be very, very encouraging to me. And then on a five-game road trip in which you're facing, again, Dallas, Carolina, Philadelphia, Toronto, and Pittsburgh, what's the standard we're setting for success right there? Is it 500 in points? Is it winning three out of five? I mean, those are the things that we have to start asking ourselves about. Like, how do we look at the realistic outcome for the San Jose Sharks? Two at home and then five on the road, that's seven games. If they win four out of those next seven, two at home and maybe two on the road or something to that effect, is that success? And I just think those are the types of questions that we have to start asking ourselves a little bit more realistically, because it's not always going to be the red hot team. It's not always going to be the, you know, incredible performances from Macklin Celebrini. It's not always going to be the magical moments. It's going to be settling into a realistic pace of play in the National Hockey League. And I think that the quote unquote realistic play, the doldrums of the NHL season, tell you more about what your team is, tell you more about what you can actually expect to be at the end of the year. If the Sharks can walk away from these next seven games with something like five wins, you know, I'm not going to be very, very displeased at all. You know, I think that would be a huge step forward, whether they come on the home stand or on the five-game road trip, right? And then, you know, you look at those three games that happen after that where they're home against Calgary, Dallas, and Seattle. So what do we start talking about here? Are we talking about, you know, this 10-game stretch before they go back out on the road for the Christmas break? I mean, again, these are things that I'm starting to ask myself, if they can be one game above 500 in that stretch, maybe two games above. I mean, how greedy do we want to get? But again, we watched the correction happen. November is not the quote-unquote standard. November is the massive correction to what we saw after an 0-4-2 start. Now, in any way, shape, or form, if the Sharks had come to this record that they currently have, I think you'd be very, very happy. The fact that it happened after an 0-4-2 start is a little bit deceptive in a couple of ways, because it makes you think that this is their reality as opposed to the 0-4-2 start, when the 0-4-2 start was just wildness at times. And that's, it's all part of the same record. It's all part of the same reality. We've just had more good times as of late. So again, all of these things come into play when we look ahead to the schedule that's coming up for San Jose. And when I look back at last night's game, I think you're going up against a team in Vegas that's had a little bit of a rough go as of late. They were 3-3-4 entering last night's game, and they needed to get a win. They were coming off a loss the night before. They did not want to have a loss and a loss on a home-and-home back-to-back. I understand that completely. It's a difficult situation for San Jose going on the road immediately after playing a game the night before and going up against a team that has Stanley Cup aspirations. That's a heavy, experienced, lethal Vegas team, and that's part of what you have to accept when you go into that game. And I think one of the things that the Sharks were missing last night was most definitely Vinny Desharnais dealing with injury, his size, his toughness, his ability out there, whether it's on the kill, whether it's just on 5-on-5, whatever it's going to be, you missed his presence. And I think that that's one of those signings that, because he was injured when he came over with San Jose last year, you couldn't get really the greatest assessment of him. But when he's not out on the ice like he wasn't last night, I do think you recognize what he brings to the table. Now, you juxtapose that with Will Smith being red hot in the last couple of games, William Eklund in the last couple of games, both of those guys having what we would consider a correction to their gameplay up to this point of the season, or at least what we've seen as of late. Those are the things that we're also looking at as well, whereas Macklin Celebrini was not as hot last night. I think he only had 1 point, which is still phenomenal, because it seems like he never walks away from games without a point. You know, you have to look at the game against like Colorado where the Sharks get shut out. That's the only way to keep that kid off the board. But you know, last night watching Vegas, it's the second period as well. And that is something where San Jose needs to figure out how they're going to take control of a game and be that type of a team. Because we often talk about San Jose needing some of those insurance goals. They needed insurance, you know, in the game against Vegas to start the year, and they just could not find that empty netter to give themselves more of an opportunity. Well, Vegas takes a 1-1 game and extends it to a 4-1 advantage for them. So when San Jose did have their pushback, where they make it suddenly a 4-2 and a 4-3 game, Vegas had enough in the tank to handle that. And yes, in the third period, it was more of San Jose continuing to find and push their way back into the game, and they had some success, but they were not able to find that game-tying goal. They were not able to find the way to send it to overtime, which, again, you give credit to Vegas for being able to handle what San Jose was able to bring, but you also notice some of the issues that San Jose was having as well with a heavier team like Las Vegas. So many times the Sharks were turning the puck over in the neutral zone, and it was quickly coming out the opposite direction, and they were being pinned back in their own end. Or several times they were giving it away just because they were facing some physicality and there was a little bit of a closing of the gap and they couldn't find a way to maintain that puck possession. They need to be better with that. This wasn't a bad game. I'm just showing that when you go up against a team that's as good as Vegas is right now, you see some of these little issues coming through, and teams like Vegas find ways to exploit those issues that your team is having. Teams like Vegas know how to win these games. They know how to turn momentum, and that was what, again, they did the entirety of the second period. Vegas came out really strong early in the game. They had the Sharks on their heels, but San Jose was able to weather it. And when you're on the road on the second night of a back-to-back, there are only going to be so many times that you are able to weather that storm, and I think Vegas was counting on that, and they took control of the game. They put it out of reach. And yes, it may have happened a little bit earlier in the game than what we were expecting, but I will note that their four goals, the three they scored in the second period, were enough for them to walk away with a win when all was said and done. They knew San Jose would have a pushback, and San Jose's pushback was only two goals in the second, giving them enough room. And you saw Tomas Hertl, he came through with big goals. He had two in this game. Mitch Marner. And those are your star players for Vegas coming through with star goals. And I know that we can talk about them as scoring on a power play, as I think that that was, you know, the second period was a really, really tough stretch for San Jose when they give up goals at 7:02 to Marner and 12:38 to Tomas Hertl. But again, those are the things that a team like Vegas does so well that San Jose needs to learn from. I know you can talk about the goal that was given up on the wraparound that Nedeljkovic got too far out of his net, but you know, I point to Shakir Mukhmadulin maybe being a little bit, not lack of aggression, but needed to be more aggressive in trying to break up that puck. These are part of the learning processes for San Jose. Now, the thing that's been encouraging this year is they've been able to bounce back from one game to the next to figure out what they need to do, to figure out how they're going to be that much better. So hopefully this is a learning process. And that, again, is part of what this Sharks team is going through right now. They are learning what it takes to win and lose. And I know that sounds almost patronizing because, yes, they are professionals. They have been doing this for a very long time, some of them. But there are a younger core of players on this San Jose Sharks team, like Askarov, like Macklin Celebrini, like Will Smith, like William Eklund, like Colin Graf, like Zach Ostapchuk, that I think need to be in a, you know, in a process where it's not all coming easy. And I think they need to learn that when you're not red hot, when the bounces aren't going your way, how do you fight your way back into this game? And I give San Jose a lot of credit for fighting their way back into the game. That's something that not every team is going to be able to do. And certainly the Sharks last year, most of the time, were not able to do so, but they gave themselves that chance. They gave themselves an opportunity to get back into the game. It comes down to the very end. And unfortunately, they were not able to find that equalizer. You know, Tyler Toffoli had a chance there at the end and he was not able to put it in the back of the net and he looked absolutely frustrated. And I think that for a veteran like Tyler Toffoli, he should be a little bit frustrated with his game because he knows he can be better. We know he can be better. His teammates know he can be better. He's obviously been dealing with some sort of an injury lately and that needs to be rectified. You know, in one way or another, it probably just takes time, but you know, Tyler Toffoli needs to be the consistent player that he was a year ago. If you add another offensive threat out there, then San Jose can create more opportunities. And then, you know, if you get Skinner back, if you get Michael Mesa back, then you have some more options as well because San Jose has been, you know, trying to find a little bit more of that offense. And, you know, it would help if you had Skinner. It would help if you had Mesa. So, again, this is all part of the process for San Jose that they were even able to get back into that game after falling behind 4-1. I look as a huge positive that they were doing this without Vinny Desharnais, who's been a big part of their success lately, I think is a part of it, that they were able to do it on the road and get back into a game. Again, I think these are all things that we look at when the game comes to a close and take away positives, take away negatives. And one of the things I always look to is how short or curt is Ryan Warsawski after a loss. He was once again talkative after this one, which means he saw things that he liked. And I think we can all acknowledge that we saw things that we liked as well. But for me, it's a matter of San Jose figuring out how to do some more of those little things a little bit better, like we heard Ryan Warsawski talk about, you know, not turning the puck over in the neutral zone, being able to understand what a team like Vegas is able to do to disrupt their flow when they're trying to get it from one zone to the next. I mean, these are the little things that the Sharks are still figuring out. Yes, sometimes they've got speed and they have incredible dekes and jukes from a Macklin Celebrini or Alex Wenberg. But I also think sometimes when they're getting in with a little bit of speed, instead of just shooting to put something on frame and make the defense react, they're a little bit too tentative. They're trying to set up. They're trying to make something happen. Sometimes you just got to let it fly. And there were multiple instances in yesterday's game and on Friday where it's just like, okay, if you gain zone entry with speed and the defense is on its heels, take a shot, see what happens. See if you're ready for a rebound for a second attempt and make that defense react. You know, don't try and set up the perfect drop back pass. Don't try and get behind the net and allow them to set up while you're setting up. These are some of the things that the Sharks, I think, need to be a little bit more aggressive. And that's only going to come with experience of being, I think, a team that can sometimes control the pace. Even in last night's game, Vegas controlled the pace of the game. They dictated the terms the majority of the time. But San Jose still found ways when they weren't turning the puck over, when they weren't being a little bit out-muscled and out-manned, to where they could do it themselves. But they weren't aggressive enough in those instances. And those are the things that I really take away from this game. But I go back to the fact that it is a learning experience for San Jose. They are performing ahead of expectations. And so our expectations start to get a little bit overzealous. We're like, oh, guys, they're right there in the playoff picture. They're right there in the playoff picture. Just stay in the playoff picture. They don't need to qualify for it today. They don't need to be leading the wild card race today. They don't need to be leading the division today. They need to continue to play a heads-up, aggressive style of hockey, which leads to roughly a 500 record, and maybe along the way you steal some wins that get you in that overall playoff wild card conversation. If that's the overall talking point for the San Jose Sharks season, of them being around a 500 team, that is a massive, massive success. You know, we wanted them to jump to something like 27 to 30 wins this year, and suddenly that went out the window and we all start talking about playoffs. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying we have to talk about what our realistic expectations were for this year and juxtapose that those with the way they've been performing lately and ask ourselves what is really going to be success this year. Success we deemed to be a team that was around 30 wins that was able to take a big jump like Anaheim did last year. And yes, San Jose has gotten a little bit ahead of themselves. It's made everyone very, very excited. And I want that overall narrative to keep up as long as possible. But mostly, I would like their play to be around 500. And maybe you steal a couple more wins, and that keeps you in that playoff conversation. To me, that sets them up for long-term, sustained success. Not just in this season, but going forward. It's not about just streakiness and getting red hot. You have to deal with the realities of the NHL season. And I think that by taking the home win and the road loss in a home and away back-to-back, that's not a bad thing. That is a high level of success. A year ago, those are two losses almost scheduled. Back-to-backs, yeah, that's not a win for the Sharks. Those are losses. And then those losses would snowball into something worse and longer. So again, a 500 back-to-back, home and away, that is success for the San Jose Sharks. A homestand where they just won 3 out of 4, that is a success for the San Jose Sharks. To bounce back from a loss against Colorado with a win against Vancouver, that is success. So while it's not in the playoffs today, the overwhelming nature of what we're seeing as of late from this San Jose team is a successful process towards being a real team in the NHL. All right, let's get into some of these highlights from the great Dan Rusinowski from last night's game. Will Smith got the scoring started for San Jose.
McNabb had that big bomb a moment ago. Feeds to the right side, and Dorofeev fans on the shot as the Sharks pick up the rebound and starts to move it out. What action? Good pass ahead. Got it over to Will Smith down the left wing. Moves and shoots. He scores! Will Smith getting the long headman feed. The Sharks break out of the zone after some great defensive work, and Will Smith puts the Sharks in front 1-0 with 12:26 to go in the first.
Will Smith, yeah, seeing his goal-scoring game come back into form, goals in consecutive games. He obviously had another goal in this game. And if there was one message I would have to Will Smith, it would be just to shoot more, because he does not have the quickest shot overall. He's got a longer windup that I think has actually gotten better. But he also has a deceptive release. And I feel like goalies have a hard time picking up his shot. And he needs to just be more aggressive. And again, I know that there is this team first mentality with San Jose where they want to set up their teammates, where they want to be, you know, just a puck moving, confusing team to deal with. But sometimes you just got to shoot. And I hope that that comes into Will Smith's game more and more, because he has a great shot. He knows how to locate it. He knows where to put it. And the Sharks need to take advantage of that. And I hope they continue to do so. But after that goal from Will Smith, it was then four unanswered from Las Vegas.
Hurdle grabs on the right wing half boards. He stick handles. He throws it back to Hutton, who throws to the middle of the ice. It's Dorofeev trying to get it. Hurdle shoots and scores! A broken play. Tomas Hurdle, who had no points in his last three games and only one goal in his previous seven, will bang it in against his former team. That ties the score 1-1 at 16:13 of this first period.
The former Shark, Tomas Hurdle, picking a puck out of no man's land that just kind of sat there in between everyone, tied it up at 1:16:13 mark of the first period. We go into the second period, and this is where Vegas just dominated the game. Started at the 5:36 mark as they made it a 2-1 game.
And now it's Wennberg digging it free from McNabb. Backhand to the point. Orloff, the screenshot wide, just barely. Overskating it though, Klingberg. 2-on-1, 3-on-1 for Vegas. And the shot to the net by Kolesarslev. Rebound, score! Well, Vegas takes the 2-1 lead at 5:36 of the second period. And that was on a rush up the ice by Kolesar down the left. He got the shot to the net. Unfortunately, Nedeljkovic couldn't hang on to it. It kind of trickled underneath him. And the center on this line, Colton Sissons, driving the goal, got underneath the Sharks' defense and was able to jam that one in. So it'd be Sissons who gets credit for the goal to put Vegas in front 2-1.
And momentum, you could see, had totally flipped in favor of Las Vegas. They're up 2-1 at this point. And then, just roughly 90 seconds later, it's Mitch Marner making it a 3-1 game.
Vegas moves in. Marner, stick handling. Behind the net, trouble! Score! Mitch Marner has not scored in his last 11 games. And he basically fooled Nedeljkovic, who came a little bit out of the net. He curled behind the goal line as it was forced to the outside. And Nedeljkovic might have gotten tangled a bit with Mukko Madulin trying to get back into position. But Marner, so quick with the stick, able to tuck it in. And it is 3-1 Vegas.
Yeah, it was a great move by Marner. And Nedeljkovic did bite hard, but I also thought he was expecting more help on the backside. And I think he may have lost his footing a little bit as well. But, you know, that's just a great move by a great player. Sometimes you're going to end up on the wrong end of that. But again, watching Vegas take over the game, it was a stark reminder of how good they have the potential to be. And I know they've been up and down to start the year, but their star power shines, right? You've already gotten goals in this game from Tomas Hurdle and Mitch Marner, and it's a 3-1 game. And then all of a sudden, just about 5 minutes later, while Vegas still had the pedal to the metal, they were able to make this a 4-1 lead. Tomas Hurdle getting his second of the game, assisted on the power play by Mitch Marner and Jack Eichel. You know, when you put all those names together, that seems almost unfair.
Marner, near side feed to the circle. Now to the right half boards to Dorofeev. He turns, throws to Stone behind the net. Now to Eichel on the half boards. Back to the point. Marner shoots. Score! Hurdle's pointing at Marner as if to say that he got it. Hurdle was in front, causing the interference in front of the goaltender Nedeljkovic, and suddenly it's 4-1. Vegas, they score on the power play on the offensive zone hooking penalty.
But credit to the Sharks, they would have a response, as at that point you're thinking, uh-oh, this one has a chance to get out of hand, just like it did the other day against Colorado. But Will Smith on the power play scores his 10th goal of the year, assisted by his good buddy Macklin Celebrini, and breathed a little bit of life into the situation to make it a 4-2 game.
Smith sending it to the middle to Eklund. Turns away from a check. Got it back to Klingberg. Near side feed. Now put in front to Eklund, but he loses on the check. And Smith in the left corner bums it around. And over there is Celebrini. He tried to slide to the middle. Now Smith in front shoots. He scores! Will Smith on a broken play gets it wide open in front. And he made no mistake with that, baby. That is goal number 10 for Will Smith. His second one of the game. It's a power play goal. And the Sharks are back in this, trailing 4-2.
And again, you could feel momentum shift finally back in favor of the Sharks just before that moment. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, is San Jose going to be able to find their way back into this game? And again, they kept on pushing towards the end of the second period because I think they knew this was their chance. If they were going to have any ability to walk away with points out of this game, it had to be now, because going into a third period game on the road on the second night of a back-to-back, scaring at a multi-goal deficit, that was going to be a tough chance. They kept on pushing towards the end of the period. William Eklund, goals in consecutive games after he'd had a goal-scoring drought. He makes it a 4-3 game off an absolutely beautiful deke and backhand move to give the Sharks their third goal and just one shy of Vegas with about 25 seconds left in the period.
Let's see what the Sharks forecheck can do here. Yep. Vegas will get around it. White Cloud feeds it out. Over to Holtz, loses on a check. The Sharks have a play ahead. It's a breakaway. It's Eklund moving in. Backhander. Score! The goal the Sharks are looking for. William Eklund on a turnover by Vegas. Moves in on a breakaway. Deeks to the forehand. Goes to the backhand against his old Djurgården teammate. And right through the legs of Lindbaum, it makes a hockey game of this one. 23.1 seconds to go in the second. It's Vegas 4 and now the Sharks 3.
That, unfortunately, would be as close as San Jose would get, but they did push through the third period. They gave themselves chances, and it came down to the final moments of the game for San Jose, which is, in my opinion, what you can ask for. They were down 4-1. They fought their way back into it, and they had a chance as time started running out in this game.
29 seconds remaining in the game as Klingberg moves to his right to Celebrini at the near side. Down into the right circle to Eklund. Doesn't pull the trigger, feeds it in front. Backhand chance right in front for Winberg. Save made by Lindbaum. Celebrini on the point. Eklund shoots. Save made. Rebound poked at wide by Winberg. Rebound kept in. 10 seconds remaining in the game. Celebrini sends it over down low to Smith. He centers it in front. Oh, a chance. Eklund fans on it. Toffoli shoots. Wide. Missed the net. And the game is over. Tyler Toffoli had a chance to tie the game. And he just missed the net with a laser of a wrist shot with seconds to play. Vegas wins 4-3. And the Vegas Golden Knights come off their bench to congratulate Carl Lindbaum, who was very good when he had to be, picks up his very first National Hockey League win here in Vegas.
It's unfortunate that San Jose could not walk away from this one with a point, but I am not dejected or demoralized or disappointed. I just think that the Sharks went up against an opponent that on paper is better than them, gave them all they could ask for, and on the second out of a back-to-back, we're not able to get a win. But they did split the back-to-back. They won the one they were supposed to. They couldn't get the little icing on top, but that's okay. And now they come home for a couple of home games before they go out on the road. And I think they got to take advantage of these two home games because this five-game roadie has some difficult circumstances. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski after the loss last night. Here he is being asked about Mario Ferraro and his defense specifically.
He's played really good. He's really putting some games together. He's digging in. He's blocking shots. He's got good detail in his game. He's played really good hockey here.
How about John Klingberg? How do you see his 5-on-5 game recently?
Yeah, it's better. It's better than it was in the beginning of the year, so that's good.
You had him back on the power play. I know it's only one power play tonight, but is that
matchup-oriented, what they do in their penalty kill.
Wanted to ask you, too, about Nedeljkovic and how you saw his game tonight. You know, that Mitch Marner goal, just overall how you saw his effort.
Thought he was good. Made some good saves for us, especially early there. They came out flying, so I thought Ned did a good job.
Tyler Toffoli, he had that chance at the end there. You can see the frustration in his face when that missed. What do you see from Tyler, and how do you kind of talk with him right now in this tough time?
Yeah, I mean, he's a goal scorer. It's not like this is his first time. He's been in a little bit of a rut from not scoring. They'll go in. You got to keep shooting, you know. And I thought he had a pretty good game tonight. He had some looks. You know, makes a nice play in the first Smith goal. So, got to keep getting better and working on it. But I think the positive is he's starting to get more looks than he was earlier in the year.
All right, we're all out of time. I will see you on Monday for the buildup as we get ready for the Sharks to take on Utah Monday night at 7 from the Tank, pregame 6:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.